You're listening to the Uncharted Podcast. This week's guest is Ankit. Ankit is the co-founder and CEO of a developer productivity startup called Aviar Technologies, and also leads the ex-Google alumni network called ex-Googler. Previously, he led engineering teams at Sunshine, HomeJoy, and Cheapo. Prior to that, he was an entrepreneur in residence at Unshackled Ventures and an engineer at Google and Adobe. Enjoy this week's episode after a quick advertisement by our sponsors. Running a startup or managing a platform engineering team demands speed, quality, and compliance awareness. The dilemma often boils down to hiring more DevOps talent or overworking existing staff. Meet DuploCloud, the team that's challenged themselves to create a DevOps automation solution that frees their customers from tedious cloud infrastructure tasks such as provisioning, laning zones, security controls, and much, much more. DuploCloud's intelligent solution is a game changer for fast-growing companies. Experience it yourself with a demo with one of their product specialists. Mention this podcast and you can get 2 free months on an annual subscription with no strings attached. Go to duplocloud.com/uncharted to claim this offer and get started today. That is duplocloud.com/uncharted to get started today. Best thing about a business is as it scales, you start being buried in manual work. At some point, cracks start to emerge. If this is you, you should know these three numbers. 37,000, 25, 1. 37,000, that's the number of businesses which have upgraded to NetSuite by Oracle. 25, NetSuite turns 25 this year. That's 25 years of helping businesses do more with less, close their books in days, not weeks, and drive down costs. 1, because your business is one of a kind, so you get a customized solution for all your KPIs. That is key performance indicators in one efficient system with one source of truth. Manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need to grow, all in one place. That is exactly what I've done time after time for our businesses and when we were scaling at Automile. Right now, download NetSuite's popular KPI checklist designed to give you consistently excellent performance absolutely for free at netsuite.com/scale. That is netsuite.com/scale to get your own KPI checklist at netsuite.com/scale. Welcome back to the Uncharted Podcast. This is Poya. I have a friend I've gotten to know over the last couple of months, Ankit, who's the CEO and co-founder of Aviar. Ankit, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm really excited to be here. Thank you for having me. I'm great. And as I said, like we just are enjoying a happy hour here. So a little bit tipsy, but I'm really excited to chat.
Look at you. I love a little buzz interview. Maybe we switch this one day to podcast and whiskey with Poya, but I'm doing dry January, so it has to be postponed. We'd like to kick it off with a quick bio. Let people know a little bit about who you are.
I'm Ankit, co-founder of Aviar. I am a traditional software engineer and grew up in India, New Delhi. I did not go to IIT, which I expect most people from Indian engineering expect. I went to Delhi University, worked for a couple of years in India. And fun fact, I did work in a Flash player for iPhone. So we had some good conversations with Steve Jobs back then. Moved to US to join Google, worked a few years there, became a lot better software engineer than I am today. Sort of like it degraded over the years when I was working in startups before we started Aviar. Other fun facts, I also run a community of ex-Googlers, which is also something I learned so much from about startups. I'm also an avid outdoors person. I've like backpacked John Muir Trail, which is about like 230 miles, did it over 17 days. I've climbed Mount Shasta and I have 4 cats.
I started my career, at least when it comes to startups, working for a company that scaled out of Bangalore. And one of the things I've always admired about folks that I've worked with, specifically out of India and other parts of Asia, is they work towards outcomes, and it's completely different than like some of my Western counterparts that work towards like hours, you know, like it's just a different mindset culturally. And sometimes I'm just amazed because their output is just through the roof. Where does that come from?
India is like one of the largest populations in the world. It's just like you have to hustle at every level, right? Like, so for instance, like I went to Delhi University engineering. There's about like 200,000 people who apply, and there's only 1,000 seats. You're competing with everyone all the time. Build this type of a mindset. There's this term actually in India called jugaad. So jugaad essentially means a workaround. And that actually is a way, because like how there is a lack of infrastructure, especially in rural areas, like there's a lot of like, hustle everywhere. People do these workarounds to make things happen. And I think this sort of like fills in your DNA in some ways. I mean, like this is at least like my theory.
That's a lot of pressure, right? I come from a family where the saying was, you're either a doctor, a lawyer, or a disgrace. How do you make sure that pressure doesn't get to you?
That's a good question. It's always demoralizing if you can't. For instance, I did not get into IIT, which was somewhat demoralizing, but like I was eventually able to get into a good school and make my way through it. You just have to have plan A, B, C, and D in some ways, right? So you always have certain backup plans. And I think that's kind of like how most of the times I think about evaluating if things are not going well, are there different paths we can take? Let's take a step back and figure out like, is there a different way to approach this problem, right? If you lose a customer, for instance, today working in our company, let's take a step back and figure out like, is there something else we can help this customer with? Or let's figure out if there are like any other customers who are similar to them that we can reach out to. So it's always like a little bit of that. There's also this saying, I may be paraphrasing it because I also don't remember who actually said this. Success is defined by how you perform on your worst days. So in some ways, being a founder, you always have to deal with stress. I guess it comes with job description.
As you talked, I was just reflecting on my own like journey, and there's been a couple of times where I've gotten rejected from my top school or gotten rejected from my dream company. And in every single circumstance, it worked in hindsight way better that I got rejected, right? So you sometimes don't know until you kind of go through it and you look back 5 years, you're like, holy cow, this was a blessing, right? So for
Right.
whoever's listening, if you got some bad news, a rejection, push through.
Yeah, exactly. Like I think in long run, generally, all of these things which look really bad in short term, it will probably just be a small blip on your life, on your career, right? So like even like as you're like many founders, right? Like the startups are hard, right? So like not that many startups succeed, but most of those founders still are able to use their skills and knowledge that they acquired while working on the startups and like apply that to the next venture, right? And maybe start another company in future. You just have to push through it.
You got to push through. Well, you bring up something that actually transitions really well. Recently, you made a post on LinkedIn about kind of 2023, right? Like what went well, what didn't go well. I thought you were very vulnerable. So, in those moments where it's a lot of highs, a lot of lows, what's helped you stay in between and push through?
It's generally like your personal board. If people are not familiar, it's a set of people. Like it includes your friends, some of your family, some of your mentors who really believe in having conversations with them. I do admire a lot any founder who's been through the journey. When we talk about like investors, like I always respect investors more when they've been founders themselves. Luckily, we've been also fortunate to actually have many of those investors on our network, right? That certainly helps. Like having a personal board is so important. And actually being able to choose that personal board is also very critical, right? Like in some ways you would want the people who really motivate you, who really believe in you, who really want to see you succeed, being very thoughtful and honest about maintaining those relationships.
I was just talking to someone that's like, hey, I'm trying to recruit this person. How do I go do it? Like, treat them like they're part of your team. Treat them as you would if they were in the job. So, what that means is share with them a close one, share with them a recent update, like make them be a part of, right, your journey. Because the more you do it, the more they want to be a part of it.
In some ways, like being vulnerable on social media, like you can actually go much further down, like in vulnerability when you're talking to your personal board, right? Like the folks you really respect and admire, right? Because they're the ones who can actually help you through this, right? I also do some of the small angel investments. And like one thing I've noticed in founders' patterns is like clearly like the ones who are actually being open and honest about how things are going, they tend to end up being more successful because there are certain things we can actually do to help if we know where the situation is. So at least to a large degree, I also try to be as vulnerable as possible to all our investors, expecting that they will at least keep all of those things to them.
100%. You got to keep it confidential. Otherwise, the trust is broken. One of the things I found interesting about your background is it's pretty diverse, right? I'm curious, what do you think has probably helped you the most in your current role and why?
This is a really hard question to answer. I can pick certain things from almost every role that I learned. Right. So, for instance, what Aviator does is it helps improve developer collaboration at large scale. The reason we are able to build this product is like we take a lot of inspiration from my experience at Google, where we have seen how much Google has invested into an organization called Eng Prod or engineering productivity, improving lives of developers. But I've also seen the other side working in startups, like how messy it can be when these tools don't exist, right? So those kind of things help me kind of like at least take that perspective and learn from one and kind of like apply to other. Also, one of the other key ingredients is the ex-Google network, right? Like just being part of that startup ecosystem, it's not just about getting to build my network of investors and startup founders, but it's also about like being part of journey of so many founders, learning what things founders are doing well, what things they're not doing well. In some ways, just taking all of those learnings together to at least reduce the amount of risk, right? As founders, your most important goal is like reduce your overall risk, right? Like risk mitigation. So like those kind of things actually like help a lot. I guess it's very hard to choose like one of them, right? So it's kind of like you just learn bits and pieces from everything. And honestly, like I do feel very strongly that especially if you're working in like sort of like a B2B space, having an experience from a large company and as well as a startup actually helps a lot, partly because you're kind of like learning how to be quick and like fast and like be able to iterate, as well as like from large companies, you learn about like your discipline, kind of like how things operate at large scales.
What, from your experience as people approach product market fit, what is one transferable thing that you think is true across the board for everybody?
I think nothing beats talking to the customers, right? This is something, Poya, you have also helped us connect with people more in our network. Last 2 years, we spent so much time just like building credibility with a lot of these potential customers, right? Like there are people who are not even using our product, but like they're the people who we now have in sounding board or sort of like, you know, even like almost like an advisory, customer advisory board. We don't pay them anything. They don't even get equity from our company, but they just like now are part of our network. We host events occasionally for them to get together, learn from other few folks. They are really the lighthouse in some ways, kind of like just shining the light in the direction where we go, right? Many times we would have very deep conversations. They become our design partners. Like this is like literally how the company started, right? We at some point just had a landing page and then Slack reached out to us and we kind of like actually had a conversation and we built a product with them. We've also been lucky that we actually found some really amazing partners in the early days, but like without them, we've not existed, right? Like, I mean, they're the ones who actually helped us like really understand this space more.
A few of them are probably listening to this. You know who you are. You're the real heroes.
There's also like a cliche statement which says like the first time founders like focus on the product, the second time founders focus on the market. And like thankfully we've been able to build a really amazing team who actually is very capable of like building the product. So like from that perspective, at least I can spend more time actually being that customer advocate and have like the team actually like spends more time building the product.
Ankit's a great customer advocate. So if you're listening to this, reach out and connect with him. One of the ways we'd love to conclude the show, if you could go back to any time, what's one piece of advice you would give your younger self?
So I come from a middle class family, and being from a middle class family, and it's like a very common mindset as well, right? Like you don't take as many risks in your career, right? Like, I mean, like clearly, I mean, like I went to like very standard, like, you know, doing engineering, like my sister is a doctor, I'm an engineer. So my parents are proud of us, but in some ways I could have taken more risk. And even if it is like doing things on the side, on the part time, but without the worry of outcomes, I actually take more risk. Up until post Google, like when I actually started working in startups, I didn't quite know a lot about like, you know, outside of technology, what does a startup or a business mean? And going back, I could have actually learned a lot sooner.
Just go for it. I think that's like the one piece of advice a lot of entrepreneurs, founders is like, I wish I went for it. I wish I didn't dwell on it. And I agree. Nothing beats taking action. It's always a nice reminder. And we appreciate you for reminding us. We appreciate you for coming on the show, Ankit. Once again, thanks for coming on. Until next time, everybody, be well, be safe, and we'll catch you on the next episode. Running a startup or managing a platform engineering team demands speed, quality, and compliance awareness. The dilemma often boils down to hiring more DevOps talent or overworking existing staff. Meet DuploCloud, the team that's challenged themselves to create a DevOps automation solution that frees their customers from tedious cloud infrastructure tasks such as provisioning, landing zones, security controls, and much, much more. DuploCloud's intelligent solution is a game changer for fast-growing companies. Experience it yourself with a demo with one of their product specialists. Mention this podcast and you can get 2 free months on an annual subscription with no strings attached. Go to duplocloud.com/uncharted to claim this offer and get started today. That is duplocloud.com/uncharted to get started today. Best thing about a business is as it scales, you start being buried in manual work. At some point, cracks start to emerge. If this is you, you should know these three numbers. 37,000, 25, 1. 37,000, that's the number of businesses which have upgraded to NetSuite by Oracle. 25, NetSuite turns 25 this year. That's 25 years of helping businesses do more with less, close their books in days, not weeks, and drive down costs. 1, because your business is one of a kind, so you get a customized solution for all your KPIs. That is key performance indicators. In one efficient system with one source of truth. Manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need to grow, all in one place. That is exactly what I've done time after time for our businesses and when we were scaling at AutoMile. Right now, download NetSuite's popular KPI checklist designed to give you consistently excellent performance absolutely for free at netsuite.com/scale. That is netsuite.com/scale to get your own KPI checklist at netsuite.com/scale.